medical, and even education. These felonious mayors are also receiving a lending hand in aiding these immigrants into our country from the American modern-day church. Outside of the fact that we have seen the Christless church in this country advocate that which God clearly condemns, such as sodomy, with their rainbow flags pinned to the side of their buildings and "all are welcome" on the church's yard signs, it comes as no surprise. Now, before thinking that I'm in any way picking on self-professed Christians, do remember that nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Jesus Christ himself. Friends, I'm grieved for the compromises and the hypocrisies of these pretenders, which are on a reproachful daily display for the world to see. Furthermore, the American church talks much of grace and love, and of course, they love to recite mercy triumphing over judgment. But they know nothing of mercy. And why? Because they know nothing of true love, which is the fulfilling of the law to establish judgment within the gate whence it is executed, that we all might know righteousness and peace within the gate. Charles Spurgeon rightly said, "How ridiculous to overlook judgment because of kindness, then love wounds itself by killing justice." These are those who suggest that it is somehow loving and merciful to advocate for that which God again clearly condemns. It is mercy to allow our children to be subject to the sodomites instead of enforcing the laws against their crimes, which condemn the wicked. It justifies the righteous and protects the innocent. I just saw a scrolling sign on a church parking lot here in Minnesota that read, "All welcome. This is an LGBT community where we take the word of God seriously, but not literally." Well, how does the Lord deal with what these pretenders do not take literally? This will help to further any objections or time-wasting debates on if the Lord means what he says when it comes to his word. In Jude 1:7, it tells us, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Then we have abortion, which is the murdering of the innocent in the womb. As many of you know, abortion is not talked about from the pulpits. Therefore, it again is advocated through their silence and apathy across America from over 300,000 pulpits. Instead of protesting, they have now become accomplices to a corrupt government system that does indeed sanction, which it should in fact lawfully condemn. No longer is it one nation under God with these hypocritical and apathetic professors, but now it has become whatever the state and Supreme Court says, it must be so. Nothing could be further from the truth. $60 million babies have been murdered since 1973, and that under the guise of a woman's choice. And because the government said so, while the Christless church has found derelict of duty when it comes to protesting these crimes against God and man. Yet somehow, in their reprobate minds, they believe that somehow their version of mercy rejoiceth against judgment is now to allow the murder of the innocent.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Kevin Schiff former CIA officer. I want to give my personal recommendation for Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. Bradley's message of standing for faith and liberty in America is critically important to the future of our country. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty's message is a light in the darkness we're facing. I personally support Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Got a question for you folks. Are you contending for the faith? You that call yourself Christians, you that call yourselves patriots and or conservatives, all extracted from the Christ? You're called to be the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. That's a conservative. Or are you just going to be a part of those that are trodden underfoot because you're good for nothing? Matthew 5:13. Also thinking of Titus 3 and 4. I'm set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm trying to figure out why so many people profess to be something that they're not when it comes to the contending for the faith. I don't understand what they don't understand about contending for the faith. It means to strive or to strive against, to struggle in opposition. Here, let me say it this way. Is it pretty extreme that a government sanctions the dissection and sale of baby parts in America today? Because God says he hates hands that shed innocent blood. I think that's pretty extreme. Is it extreme for me to stand up against murder? No, it's love. And how do I do that? I magnify God's law. Well, some might say, like so many other ignorant professors do, that, you know, that's just the Old Testament. No, you need to make distinction between ceremonial law and moral law. And most people haven't taken the time because they've never read the Bible. And what they're hearing today is it doing away with the law which Christ never abrogated. He came to magnify it. When you look at Deuteronomy 18:18, what does it say? I just want to throw it out there. This is the Lord prophesying through Moses. Deuteronomy 18:18 says, "And I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, that being Jesus Christ, like unto who? Moses? Like unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." What does it say right after that? It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen carefully unto my words, he shall speak in my name, and I will require it of him." Whoa. So the Lord said through Moses that he's going to raise up a prophet like unto him, which happened to be the Christ, right? And then when you look at Isaiah 42:21, what does it say? The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law. He didn't do away with it. He came to explain it. Therefore, if he did away with it, he didn't need to explain it, okay? Then it tells us in 40 verse 7 of Psalm, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart." Oh, well, Bradley, that's Old Testament. As I always say, the New Testament is a fulfilling of the Old. Again, make distinction between moral law and ceremonial law. What does it say in Hebrews 8:10 in the New Testament? "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. We are Israel of God. After those days, saith the Lord, that I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people." Did he do away with it? Nope. He's fulfilling it. Well, let's go to Jesus himself, the prophet of prophets, the king of kings. What did he say? in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to do away with it. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Isn't that the love of God and his commandments are not grievous in 1 John chapter 5? Why, yes, it is. Isn't it interesting how the modern day professors have so failed to contend for the faith that they've submitted to the spirit of the world? Here, let me ask you another question. Is it pretty radical? Is it pretty extreme that the government has now said that two men can get married and two women can get married, which has never been in the history of mankind? Is that extreme? Yeah. Is it extreme for me to contend with those that mean to trample underfoot the word of God? Absolutely, it's my duty, it's my obligation. Again, the title of the show today is, I am set for the defense of the gospel. That means by the grace of God, I am not moving and I'm going to stay on the offensive because we're not called to be just on the defensive. That's the problem. If people believed in the Lord and his law as much as the devil, his minions believe in lawlessness, I'll tell you what, we would have won the day long ago, which we did on Calvary. And Jesus looks at the church and says to him, this power I now give to you over all of the works of the devil. Luke 10:19. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're supposed to be on the offensive. Everybody talks about a warfare within Christianity today. They know nothing of it for the most part. But when you look at Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12, isn't it interesting? He starts to name the military brass, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation and the gospel, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, right? Notice all that gear, that military garb. Notice it's all used for the front, not on the back. But if we're under attack, we are to defend ourselves, right? But we are supposed to be on the offensive and not on the defensive. Okay, just want to make clear. Here's another point I want to make. When you go to Romans 13, isn't it interesting that it tells us right there in 13, and just hang on a second, I'm going down just a little bit. It says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, New Testament. Thou shalt not kill, New Testament. Thou shalt not steal, New Testament. Thou shalt not bear false witness, New Testament. Thou shalt not covet, New Testament. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So in other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Was there a reading of the law or was there an upholding of the law? And was the fulfilling of the law that love that does unto others that we're supposed to do unto ourselves? Yes, because it tells us love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm not done yet. We're talking about being set for the defense of the gospel. Are you contending for the faith? Friends, let me ask you a question. Is it extreme that your said government is now illegally indoctrinating children in public schools? Isn't that pretty radical? Is it extreme for me to stand up on the side of God's law as a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, and moving forward, Acts 5:32, and being led of the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14? Is it not my duty and obligation to serve the Lord God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? I mean, after all, how can I love you if I don't first love him with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? That's the first commandment. The second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this, the law and the prophets are fulfilled. Again, there it is. There was no doing away with it. Hey, folks, is it wrong or is it extreme for me to contend with those that violate God's moral law? No, we're to contend. And guess what the word contend means? To strive against, to struggle in opposition. Folks, I think the problem that most people have today is they don't understand that they're in the middle of a warfare and they're losing the game because they don't practice what they preach. We'll be right back.
And creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out sonsoflibertyradio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life. Books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out our store today. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children. Our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show, maybe even for years now, and can think of so many others you wish could hear the message too. But you don't know quite how to reach them or where to begin. Well, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's a lot easier than what you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for all those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to make a difference in their own lives and their own communities right now. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
Hello, I'm Eric Hollander, award-winning graphic designer and documentarian. I've known Bradley Dean for the better part of 2 decades, and in all that time, I've been a witness to his consistent passion for Jesus Christ, America, its young people, and the veterans who fought to keep us free. Bradley's radio show, The Sons of Liberty, addresses the heroic values our nation once championed, but sadly are fading in an increasingly self-centered culture. Never one to pull punches, Bradley tells it like it is, boldly proclaiming truth to those with ears to hear.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste your time with fluff. Here's a real 48-page printed newspaper that is not fair and balanced as defined by the mainstream media. Instead, we tell you the truth you need to know. Check us out and email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's who we are, what it is that we have done over the last 25 years, and we are doing. And speaking of which, if you go over to the schedule on sonsoflibertymedia.com, what you're going to find is we have a couple up-and-coming events. First, the Minnesota State Fair, August 22nd to September 2nd. And I'm just trying to figure out where all that love is for Bradley and the Sons of Liberty. I've been asking people if they wanted to volunteer for one of the days. It would be fantastic if you guys could help out. It's from 9 to 9. It's 12 hours a day for 12 days in a row. It's a 3-hour round trip for me every day. If there's anybody that would like to volunteer some help, we'd totally appreciate it. If you'd like to be a part of that, 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. Also wanted to let you know, folks, we have an event coming up in Indiana, one in southern Minnesota, and then we'll pick up again after we get over this hump concerning the Minnesota State Fair. We're on the east end of the bottom floor of the grandstand at the Minnesota State Fair, 12 days in a row, August 22nd to September 2nd. Also wanted to let you know, if you want to jump online, you can at any time. Watch us on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, 13 to 15 articles given by contributors from across the country that are as the sons of Issachar, knowing the times, and they are part of bringing about the answers. We're called to bring forth the answers, church, not the problem. Isaiah 58, verse 12, we're repairers of the breach, right? And with that, sonsoflibertymedia.com, subscribe. Also, go over to the store and the schedule. Please consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. If you order anything on sonsoflibertymedia.com, just know that your orders will go out the next day, except on Saturday, obviously, because we have Sunday, and your orders will get to you within 2 to 3 days. The USPS says 3 to 5. We say 2 to 3, regardless if you're on the West Coast or the East Coast, Texas, or wherever the case might be. Again, wanted to let you know as well, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that, we follow the Christ. We're talking about how I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And I do have to give one shout out real quick before we get back to it. WMCH, Churchill, Tennessee. WMCH, a new affiliate in Churchill, Tennessee, just picked us up 7 days a week, and we totally appreciate your trust, and we will do everything in our power to stick to the Constitution that's premised on the Word of God called common law, because as Andrew Jackson rightly said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Cool? Just wanted to make clear. Let's move on here. I had said Titus 3 and 4 during the last break. Forgive me. I was quickened to correct myself. It was actually Jude. And I want you to listen carefully as to what it says. Beloved, those that are loved of God, when I gave all diligence painstakingly to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When's the last time you've seen anybody contend for the faith? Matter of fact, if you contend, what they do is the spirit of the carnal-minded individuals say that's, you know what, why are you so mean-spirited? No, that's the spirit of cowards that say that. See, they don't understand that men follow courage. They don't follow titles. They're used to titles. We're following the Christ who is courageous. Matter of fact, if you look at Proverbs 28, verse 1, what does it say? The righteous are made bold as lions. And if you look at Jesus, who did they equate him to? The prophets of old, right? Yeah, that's what the apostles identified him as. And people ask, when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Who did they equate him to? The prophets of old, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the old prophets, John the Baptist, risen from the dead. And clearly, another characteristic of Jesus Christ, or characteristic, is that he spoke boldly and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? Boldly means forward to danger. He was constantly contending for the faith. Constantly. But where do you see it in America today? You don't. Very little of it, friends, because the hirelings, John 10, 12, don't want to offend anybody because they got to pay for all their new pews and their building programs. Isn't it interesting how beautiful these churches are? And speaking of which, the schools, how beautiful they are. Look at what they're indoctrinating people with. Look who's at the pulpit preaching a false gospel, which brings a curse. Look at the nation, which only verifies and affirms what I'm telling you right now. This is the harvest of anarchists today. Who raised them up? The 300,000 pulpits that remain silent. So therefore, if they're going to be silent, aren't we obligated before God to actually stand up and do what they're leaving undone by going outside and bearing the reproach of Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, you don't have to look for a fight. Just speak forth the truth and it will come. And then there begins the contention. And we are called to contend for the faith. Why? Verse 4, Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, carnal lusts, and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at what the professors in the church are doing today, what are they promoting? The spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. They're promoting the very things that God condemns, and they have the audacity to call themselves Christians? Boy, folks, are we that blind? Are we that, and speaking of which, that cowardice not to stand up against those things that we claim that we see? I hope so. I hope so, folks, because I'll tell you what, this corner gets lonely quite a bit. Quite a bit. Let's go on to the next point that I wanted to make, because we were and are talking about setting forth ourselves concerning the defense of the gospel. If you look at Philippians 1:17, what does it say? But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Why am I set for the defense of the gospel? Out of love towards God, out of love towards man, out of gratitude for what Christ has done for me. And I live for him who died for me, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Okay? And I'm just showing you folks what most men mean to abrogate and do away with. Christ never did. And you can see it in society. Culture is the church's report card, friends. How are they doing? If you have any objections to a word I've said thus far, tell me how they're doing. What does the report card look like, friends? It's not good, is it? Let me go back to the point as well in Romans 15:8. Jesus was incarnate in the natural, as a natural man. He was a preacher of the circumcision. He was a preacher of the law of grace. And you can find that when you go over to Matthew 10. Starting in verse 17. And let me just go through it really quick. Listen carefully. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, speaking to Jesus, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus say to him? Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Oh my goodness. Thou knowest the commandments, Jesus said in 10:19 of Mark. You know the commandments. Unto the Jews was given the oracles of God. That is the moral law of God. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Romans 13. The list goes on. The first thing Jesus said to him is, thou knowest the commandments. What do you hear concerning the Gentiles in America today? What are you hearing? Well, the law is the thing of the past. Wait a second. We're to follow the way of the master. And if we follow the way of the master, why would we get away from what he did not, but came to establish and to magnify? This is how backwards things have become, Americans. The first thing he said is, thou knowest the commandments. Hey, by the way, who is Paul sent to? Both to the Jew and the Gentiles, but when he was sent to the Gentiles, it was what? Law of grace. How are they to repent if they didn't know that they transgressed God's law? That's why when you look at Acts 20, verse 21, what does it say? It says repentance towards God. What's the message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How are they to repent if you don't show them that they violated and transgressed God's law? 1 John 3:4. Because until you show them that they have transgressed God's law, they're not going to understand their need for a Savior. Okay, just want to make clear. And there is the schoolmaster that's been withdrawn, and guess who's behind all that? Satan and his little minions, the great deluder, the lawless one. And there's no excuse for anybody in the United States of America, or as far as that goes, anyone on this planet, to suggest to me there's a reason as to why they don't know. I mean, they got to have both of their fingers on their eyeballs, friends, and their ears plugged, not to know that every hotel you go into, almost, because they're changing that now, but almost every hotel that you go into, more than not, 8 out of 10, are going to have a Bible there. There's no excuse. Absolutely, there's no excuse. Let me finish this. Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. That's number 7. Do not murder. That's number 6. Do not steal. That's number 8. Do not lie. That's number 9. Defraud not, and honor your father and your mother. That's what Jesus said. Where's the professors in the American church today saying that that's a thing of the past when Jesus himself used it to bring men unto himself? What did he say? Then Jesus, listen to me carefully. Here's the law, and here's the love that fulfills the law. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. It doesn't say he hated him. It says that he loved him and said unto him, this one thing you lack. Jesus loved them so much, he went to the very thing that was impeding his way to come to the Christ to be saved from his sin. We'll be right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747.
or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Bradley Dean, a man for all seasons. He's a musician, a patriot, a radio host, a father, a family man, and most of all, he is my friend. Hey, this is former Sheriff Richard Mack, and Bradley Dean is the real deal. He's been called lots of things, even extremist. Well, maybe he is, because extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. Stick with Bradley and the Sons of Liberty. This is Sheriff Mack.
Today, more than ever, our pets are struggling with many of the same health challenges that their owners are struggling with. Medications can sometimes help, but do not address the root cause and can create unwanted side effects. Pet Regen by Go Natural Pets is a revolutionary regenerative plant-based supplement for pets that helps the body heal itself naturally. The results have been extraordinary. The unique ingredients in Pet Regen have countless scientific studies that show their ability to facilitate greater repair, renewal, and regeneration. A few scoops a day can make all the difference. It's safe, effective, affordable, and it works. We guarantee it or your money back. Created by nature, proven by science, loved by pets. That's PetRegen.com, PetRegen.com, or call 737-303-4480. That's 737-303-4480.
You want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show, maybe even for years now, and can think of so many others you wish could hear the message too. But you don't know quite how to reach them or where to begin. Well, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's a lot easier than what you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for all those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to make a difference in their own lives and their own communities right now. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747, and start making a difference in your world today.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
Okay, so I wanted to get through that. I was just highlighting the fact that we're talking about how we're set for the defense of the gospel. And it's interesting how men lower the law and they've dimmed the light by which man perceives his own guilt. No longer are they guilty. No longer do they need a savior because they don't know that they're sinners. Most time, by the way, friends, you know when you hear a said hireling in the pulpit today, and he's making a plea for people to come to Jesus, you know how he gently exhorts men to come up to him and, you know, come up to the altar and you know, say a prayer and then they're going to be saved. Isn't that interesting? To make a decision for Jesus Christ. Do you all realize that that is nowhere to be found in Scripture? It's nowhere. But this is what's become common in the church. We're talking about being set for the defense of the gospel. We're just etching away and tearing down the lies like Gideon did his father's altars, because that's exactly what it is. Judges 6, read it when you get a moment. When you look at Acts 17:31, listen carefully. What does it say? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. But was that a suggestion or was that a commandment? I'm just curious. Because if you look at verse 30, and this is in fact Acts 17, you look at verse 30, what does it say? In the times of ignorance, this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? But yet we're conditioned to believe that whatever the hireling in the pulpit's saying, it must be right. You know, if you'd like to come up here and make a decision to give your life to Jesus, really, is that the experience that Paul had? In Acts 9? Not at all. I mean, my goodness. Did he make a decision? Oh, he made a decision really quick because the Lord struck him down to show him who he better serve or else. And he did willfully. He's the man that was inspired by God to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Isn't that crazy? Wow. Talking about the defense of the gospel. Just the other day, I believe it was yesterday, I tapped into this for a moment. And what it was another modern-day message from a modern-day ignorant, biblically illiterate individual saying that there's no more apostles today, and yet I can see in Scripture in Malachi 3:6 that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. In Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, I guess God changed his mind because this guy decided to make a little meme that says they don't no longer exist. But when you look at 4:11 of Ephesians is first the apostle, then the prophet, teacher, then it goes on, right? The fivefold ministry. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 12:28. And what does it talk about? First the apostle, then the prophet, then the teacher. It didn't say the Lord got rid of them. It didn't say anything about the Lord saying, let's get rid of them. Nowhere. My goodness, folks, listen carefully. We're talking about being set for the gospel. Defense of the gospel, and we are to contend for the faith, Jude 3 and 4. I want you to listen carefully to this because it's important that you do. Isn't it interesting, John the Baptist, that lone prophet, no greater prophet born of women? Isn't it interesting that guy, that hairy man that had camel's hair, he was eating locusts and honey? Isn't that interesting? His message was what? Repent. And he kept pointing his finger back at repent. And then he would say in 1 John 2:28, what did he say? He said, 1:28, John 1:28, forgive me. What did he say? Repent first. And then he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Look, you're to repent because you've offended God, but God has made a way. There's the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself and took his blood as a propitiation and washed you from his sin that he might reconcile you unto himself through the death of Christ. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't make sense, the modern gospel, in any sense of the word. We're talking about being set for the defense of the gospel. Folks, look at how the modern day church is dissecting the word. It's called deconstructionism. What do they do? They keep saying, well, it's not like this anymore. He doesn't do this anymore. So on and so forth. Baloney. It's not the Lord that's changed. It's man that's changed. And he's refused to take his cross and follow the Lord daily. And because he wants to set himself as an example, the devil does. What does he do? He begins to reevaluate the word, deconstruct the word, and then reinterpret the word, hoping that you're not going to do your own due diligence and pull the curtain back on the fact that the man's a total hypocrite who wants followers. And that's exactly what this is. Listen, let's go back to John the Baptist. What did he say? But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he came to the baptism. He said unto them, O you generation of snakes, you vipers. When's the last time you heard that in the pulpit? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Nobody has. Because they didn't understand that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's asking the question, who's warned you to flee? The word flee means terror stricken. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Listen to the question that he's proposing to the people that should have knew better. What's the next thing John says? He says in Matthew 3, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Fruit. And guess what they didn't have? They didn't have the fruit. And so what did they do? They decided to kill the Lord of glory. Read Mark 12 when you get a moment. It's ridiculous. To say the least, it's ridiculous what we're seeing in the pulpits today. Now, I was just talking about how they want to change Scripture. And what's interesting is not only are they saying there's no more apostles and prophets, I'm here to tell you first and foremost, that is the furthest thing from the truth. And the reason that they can't bear witness to the Holy Ghost is because they've never obeyed to receive him. There's the problem. The Holy Ghost is given unto those that obey. Isn't that what it tells us? Yep, and I'm going there right now. And what does it say? Here, I want to just go ahead and read it to you so you can see for yourself. And we are witnesses to these things. We're called to be witnesses of the resurrection. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those that obey him. Acts 5:32. Oh, my goodness. There it is. And what does the Bible tell us? They gnashed on their teeth. They got angry at the apostles who said that to them. Remember the apostles, too, by the way, it was John and Peter. They said that the Pharisees looked at them and observed that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they perceived that they were with Jesus. God has chosen the foolish things of the wise. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, didn't he? And hasn't he? Yep, he has. That's exactly right. Why? Because his spirit will not be straightened. He will not be no one's going to shut him up. The Lord will get his message out, even if he has to use an ass, a donkey, a mule, the way he did for Balaam, okay? Now, I want to highlight this because somebody just about a week and a half ago asked me if I was one that believed in cessation. And I thought he was talking secession. So are we talking spiritual things here, or are we talking about natural things where the states want to, you know, basically get itself away from the control of the federal government, which is the tail wagging the dog? The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states, but you have the federal government creating the control over the states now. Why? Because the governors are a part of the problem, giving power over to the federal government because they have the strings to the purse now. The federal government does. That started in 1913, right? But I thought, well, cessation or secession? And then I thought, well, I'm going to look up the difference between what he may be saying. And so what I did is I went back and I looked at it because, again, when he asked me, I go, I'm not sure because I wasn't sure what he was talking about. Cessation or secession? Okay. So I looked up the word cessation. It means someone that stops believing in the giftings of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hey, folks, you know what the problem is? You know why people say that the gifts are not in function anymore? Because of all the false prophets. And yet, if you look at 13, 17, and 18, and Jeremiah 23 as well, you're going to start to understand who the false prophets are. And he told you what you're supposed to do to those false prophets. Hey, folks, the Mark Taylors, the Julie Greens, these other people that are out there right now that are loved and the approbation of the people are upon them and they want to defend their lies. Rest assured, friends, that are pointing, and you know what they're doing? These false prophets are all pointing their finger to a man, not to the Christ. They're all false prophets. They're controlled opposition. And not all of them are controlled opposition. I absolutely believe Mark Taylor is controlled opposition. Okay, and these others out there that are telling you to get behind what's going on concerning one of the two candidates where there's no difference between the right and the left. It's pro wrestling at its very worst, right? They're false prophets. And then when they see their words fail, hey, folks, here, when a prophet tells you what you want to hear, I'm telling you right there, unless you're just coming out of a breaking period, and I'm putting that up against Isaiah 66, verse 2, 34, verse 8, also that of Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Unless you're coming out of a breaking, I can almost tell you without reserve, friends, that unless the cross is on that faith, it's not the Spirit of Christ. Did you hear what I said? Unless there's a cross to be bore with that faith, it's not a word of prophecy. Okay, most people don't get that. They think it's just going to be, well, he told me this is what's going to happen and so on and so forth. Yep, but What is it working in you? What is it working through you? From him, to him, and through him. What is it working through you? Are you? Is it working in you that you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or is it pulling you away from being tried by the Word of God? That's what it talks about in Deuteronomy 13. Okay? And I'm thinking of 1 Timothy right now. And when I go over there, I want you to hear this. Okay? Because it's important that you do. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies once before went before concerning thee, that thou mightest by them wage a good warfare. Here it is again. Everybody's expecting the Lord to do for them rather than what the Lord is putting you through to receive witness of Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. We're going to come right back to that, friends, in just a moment. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. Or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Richard Mass, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues.
Listen to this resolve. This is Aaron leading you to the golden calf, literally.
That have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSRadio.com. Okay, welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, top left side of that page. BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of that page. Working on phone lines again today, friends. Just letting you know we did not drop the ball on that. Want to give one more shout out to WMCH, Churchill, Tennessee. WMCH, Churchill, Tennessee. Thank you for your trust. They're going to be taking that radio program 7 days a week. We totally, once again, appreciate your trust. Now, with that, friends, I want to get back to this because I was just talking about the false prophets that are on the scene today. Where men love them, where you see the approbation of men fall to them, you better understand you're dealing with a false prophet if they're not bearing that same cross. The Bible tells us clearly, 6:36 of Luke, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, so did their fathers of the false prophets. Hence, you have a Billy Graham, a Benny Hinn, the list goes on. Okay? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Hey, folks, you know, here, let me say it this way so you can all understand. And you're probably going to look at me and say, no, you know, like I'm being sarcastic. I'm not. I'm highly suspect. I remember John Adams said the same thing. The Colossus of Independence. This was the guy that was carrying the warfare on and off the floor to establish what we have called the Declaration of Independence. If it was, listen to me, folks, and he is the most despised. He is one of the greatest unsung heroes besides the Black Robe Regiment concerning who our forefathers were. But I want you to understand something. If it wasn't for John Adams, we would not be here today. If it wasn't for that prophet, we would not be here today. It's a fact. And yet, he was highly suspect. Why? Because nobody else practiced what they preached. He was a very moral man. He was raised up under over 5,000 Puritan messages throughout his life. And I am telling you, folks, all the characteristics of that man point the finger back to the biblical prophet in every sense of the word. Patrick Henry was another one. Matter of fact, if you go to Yorktown Museum in Yorktown, Virginia, he was considered a prophet during his time. He was the one that was given the message, give me liberty or death. He preached that in a church in Richmond. I've been there. I have the hat, have the t-shirt. Oh my goodness. Right? Folks, it wasn't for the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers, we wouldn't be here today. And again, I don't want to get off track here, but I did want to highlight the fact that when we're talking about the false prophets of the day, just a handful that I was talking about, and you see the approbation of men fall to them and protect them in their false doctrines, you're dealing with a charlatan. You're dealing with a false prophet. And these are the people, and these are the ones that put themselves up as prophets saying that they're speaking for the Lord when they're not. They're prophesying from their own filthy heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? But what I want you to understand, friends, is when you look at Micah 3:5, it tells us, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. Listen to what they say. He said, that bite with the teeth and cry, peace, peace. Or say, you need to get behind your favorite political man because he's the one that's going to make America great again. When you have everybody going that direction, you probably better look at the Bible and read it and look at a little history, friends, because you know that you're going to find yourself going the wrong direction. Why? Because the Lord said they're crying peace, peace, and he that speaketh not in their mouth. The Lord said he didn't put the words into their mouths. He said they even prepare war against him. That's right. I got a book called Children of the Apostate, Up and Coming. I give a chapter to Martin Niemöller, who was the one that was responsible for writing a book talking about how the evangelicals back in the 1920s and 30s are the ones that gave power to Adolf Hitler to do the things that he did. Again, people don't understand. And in P.S., Adolf Hitler, you know what his slogan was? Make Germany great again. Did you know that? See, the devil doesn't have a new bag of tricks, friends. He just doesn't. Okay? We're talking about standing in the defense or being set in the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're called to do that all the time. Some people say, well, why is that dude so contentious? Because you're being lied to. Because that guy loves you more than you love yourself. And he's trying to get the truth in you. You know what I do when I go preaching, friends? People say, and I did it in Memphis. I remember preaching for 1 hour. Then it went to 3 hours, and then I was preaching 5 hours, and I had the same strength, exact same strength that Caleb talked about when he was 40, and then when he was 85 years old. When I started preaching, from the first hour to the fifth hour, I had the same strength, and I could have kept going. It's all supernatural, friends. But I remember when I was preaching there, and I kept preaching, and I kept preaching, and I kept preaching, and I kept preaching, and I'll come back to that thought in just a moment. Yeah. Just hang on a second. Hey, folks, these turns come quick, let me tell you. I was just talking about cessation and how people today believe, because I was asked the question last week, are you one of those people that believe the gifts have stopped? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, when you understand by the Holy Ghost and having discerning of spirits, 1 Corinthians 12, it's interesting that you can discern the false from the real especially with your understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. It's easy to discern a false prophet from a real prophet. Because the real prophet tells you what you don't want to hear and what you need to hear. Well, the false prophet tells you what you want to hear, and it adds and it removes the cross, is what I should say. It removes the cross. Did you know this? Because I am not one of those guys. I absolutely 100% in the gifts of the Spirit, because I know that the Lord has not changed. Men have changed. They're disobedient. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. And therefore, they want to reinterpret the Word to fit them, as to suggest that they're the standard when in fact they're not. When you look at 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, what does it say? And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, which you see the false prophets use, of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wait, I'm talking about the New Testament here. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. So I'm preaching a message that only the Holy Ghost, who's been sent down from heaven, can actually preach, because he's the only one that can manifest that power. Bingo. Without him, to he who hath the Son hath life, to he who hath not hath the Son hath not life. Again, there's a difference between a genuine Christian. He's a believer. He believes the Word of God. He believes the whole of it. He doesn't pick and choose and cherry pick the Word of God as to what fits his lifestyle, because he's got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I'll tell you what, that's a divided human, and the Bible is clear. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. He's confused for that very reason. But I want to tell you today, friends, you're supposed to find your faith in him, not in man, not in the wisdom of man's word. When I hear people say, oh, look at how smart that guy is. You know what? I don't care about none of that. No. In 9 times out of 10, what you're going to find is that person loves the fact that he's smart and he can draw attention unto himself because of his wisdom. But you know what? That's a carnal wisdom. It's not a spiritual wisdom. It's a carnal wisdom. Because if he had a spiritual wisdom, he would speak in a language that only the children of God in many cases could actually understand. Like what I'm telling you right now. And put that up against 1 John 4:5. You're to find your faith in him, not in Bradley Dean. Hey, folks, you know how I continuously tell you I wasn't talked into this by man? Therefore, I can't be talked out of it by man? Hey, folks, what Christ has put in me, no devil in hell is going to be able to take it out of me. Why? Because I'm his business. And no man's able to pluck me out of his hand. He's the one that saved me. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And what he's begun, he's going to finish. Right? And guess what? It's found in him, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord thy God that has changed not. I mean, folks, listen to this. Tells us in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does a carnal man do? He puts his trust in a doctor, which not in every case they're bad. Sometimes they can help you. But you've seen what happened over the last 3 years. I don't know how they're ever going to come back from the pandemic that they created. They're trying to do it again, by the way. Go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. What do they do? Well, they're going to find out, just like the woman that gave all that she had over to the doctors, and they made her nothing better until she what? Pressed into the Christ, and her virtue was healed instantaneously. The Bible said it was staunched. Where did she receive her healing? From Christ or man? She went to the Christ because she seen man failed every single time. Amen? Hallelujah. Right? And what about this one? Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and with gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. I'll tell you what, that's where I found my faith, in the gift of prophecy, in the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and discerning of spirits and the gift of faith, which are all by the Holy Ghost. Why? That we might not serve dumb idols. When man excludes the Spirit of Christ, get away from him, because he knows nothing of him. But when he points to the Word and says, I believe that he does all of what he said he was going to do, that's where you want to be, folks, because you're setting yourself up to receive the promises of Christ Jesus. Folks, talking about the defense of the gospel, and that's what we're here to do. Love you, bye.